Good to see everybody here. Hope everybody's happy. Look up here and smile. Maybe we better redo that. This look normal. We had a good, huh? That was ugly. That was ugly, Haley said. I wish you wouldn't call the people ugly like it, babe. That's bad. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we turn our hearts to you now and we ask that you prepare us for your word, prepare us for your Holy Spirit, prepare us for your work in our lives, teach us truth that we'll never forget. Teach us truth that will leave a lasting imprint on our spirit, that will cause us to be more like you. And Lord, we love you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, we're in the study of Revelation, but that's not what we're doing today. So, if that means anything. This past Monday morning, I got up and I was, there was a plan that I may not have been able to have been here today. And so I was laying some things before the Lord and seeing that the Lord answered prayers for me to be here in such a way that I was supposed to be here. I was trying to follow the Lord and just get direction. Was I supposed to be here or somewhere else on this particular weekend? And I felt like that the Lord did answer those prayers. A lot of it was in connection with this past Friday night and what we're doing there. But nonetheless, I got up Monday morning and I was preparing as though I wasn't going to be here. You know, and the Lord dropped a word in my heart, and so I got up from that, and I thought, well, that's great. You know, I've at least got something to offer if I'm not going to be here where I'm going. And then the Lord, just as plain as he could speak it to me, said, no, that's for the grace place. And so I'm veering from our path of the study of Revelation to give you what I felt like the Lord dropped in my spirit this past Monday. And what he was talking to me about was things that he has given us that stabilizes our emotion. Now just consider that for a minute. Things that God has given us as his children that stabilizes our emotion. And that's what he was speaking to me about. And I began to question, well, Lord, is my emotions a little out of sync? How many of you have ever had times when your emotions are not running in agreement with even what you know? And we've had the teaching on the breakdown of the body, soul, and spirit. You're a triune being, and what comes out of our body is a reflection of what's inside. We have that principle all through the Word of God. I've said it this way in years past, and it's always helped me. You do what you do because you feel the way you feel. And you feel the way you feel because you think the way you think. So if you want to change what you're doing, you have to change how you feel. And the only way to change how you feel is to change what you think. Say amen to that. Amen. So therefore we have Scripture teaching us how to think and what to think about. And it even tells us if we don't think about what he tells us to think about, and if we don't process thought in the way the Word teaches us, then what happens is our emotions gets out of sync. Okay? And from the thought process, that can form what's called a stronghold. And we're casting down imaginations. We're bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. So with that said, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about that. I want you to look with me in 2 Peter chapter 1 first, and then we're going to talk about some things that you're going to think, well, that's not relevant to what you said we were going to talk about. But it really is if you follow the thought all the way through. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read a few verses. I'm sure we've read these probably before, but then we're going to connect it to an extremely familiar passage of Scripture. And I'm going to tell you some of the things that the Lord was speaking to my heart. When our emotions gets out of sync, it's either because, listen to this, we've added something to the process of our thought, or we've taken away something. Something. One of the two has happened. So if you subtract from what God tells us to think about, then you're going to be left with a void. And something's going to fill that void. It'll implant a way of thinking in your mind that will carry you away from God if you're not careful. It can spoil doctrine. It can spoil the steadfastness of your life. It can cause you to begin to justify behavior that you know doesn't line up with God. It'll cause you to justify the way you feel. How many of you have ever been wronged in the past and you knew you were justified in feeling wronged? That's everybody here, so, right? Okay. But if you take that and then line it up through Scripture, it kind of doesn't add up sometimes because our thought life is off and we've added something maybe to our thoughts or we've taken something away and as a result we become unstable. Here's a passage of Scripture that you know well, but 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read a few verses beginning with verse 3, and it says this, according as His divine power. Now everybody say divine power. Do you know what that means? It means it's not your power. According as His divine power. So, can I introduce a thought to you that sometimes gets subtracted from your thinking and mine too? God has all power. Amen. Solidify this simple truth in you and call yourself back to it all the time. There is nothing impossible with God. Everybody say amen again. Amen. There is nothing impossible with God. I'm somewhat perplexed by this. I hear this all the time. I've been guilty of saying it. I'm sure you have as well in times past. Well, we're facing a situation that only God can deal with. How many of you have ever run out of answers in your life and you're facing that kind of a dilemma or have faced it? Watch this. Can I just inform you something? Every situation you face, only God can deal with. Not just that one. And here He introduces us to His divine power. Now, how many of you have been born again? You've been saved. Can I tell you, you're a recipient of the divine power of God in your life. You should say hallelujah. You should have revival. You should be so loud right now over that I just told you. That's enough for you to have revival till you get to heaven. You are a recipient of the divine power of God if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. That's supposed to be what manifests out of us. So He goes on. According as His divine power, watch this, hath given us all things. Can we stop again? According as His divine power hath given us how many things? All things. Now, let me tell you, that phrase, all things, if we have time, we're going to come back to in a minute, because it's a familiar little phrase, and it's used several times in the Scripture. People quote this phrase, and they misquote it often. But can I tell you that all things have been given to you by the divine power of God, and here's the things He gives you, according to His divine power, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Uh-oh. Well, now we're in trouble. Because what this tells us is we are without excuse from walking a godly life. And He also tells us that walking a godly life is not within your power to do. It's all up to Him. Now that can give us a clue, a little bit of insight, into what it is that we're subtracting when our behavior doesn't reflect what God says our behavior should reflect. We are subtracting from our life that divine power has already given us the power to overcome whatever ungodliness we're struggling with. We're going slow on purpose so you get it. According as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Watch this. Here's how this comes about. Through the knowledge of Him. Y'all see that? So as you get to know Jesus, you tap into more divine power. And this divine power translates into life and godliness, the demonstration of life. If you was present at the birth of your child, there was something you wanted to hear. You wanted to hear sound. When my daughter Allie was born, she didn't make a sound. And I raised up and I said, "What's the matter? What's wrong? I need to hear something over there." And the doctor spoke and he said, give me just a minute. And there in a minute, I heard her scream. She's almost 40 years old. She's been screaming ever since. I mean to tell you. But what we wanted to hear was the sound of life. Yeah. Y'all hearing me? The church is not supposed to be quiet. If you got life, make sound. I get a kick out of these people who say, it's too loud. I think it ought to be reverent. You're irreverent when you're silent. There needs to be life in the house of God, and that comes through knowing Him. It will produce these things. Look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Still, this is a flow from the divine power of God. It's not your power. It's the divine power of God. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now everybody say divine nature. Divine nature. All right, so here you got two things. Divine power, divine nature. Did you hear what it said? You didn't hear that. You are a partaker of the divine nature. God's nature is within His children. Because it's in His power to give that to us. When you act in disagreement to what God has created you to be, your emotions get unstable and you feel wonky, out of kilter. Anytime, if I could just, oh boy, anytime that you go in rebellion against the design of God that you were created for, you become bipolar. So we have solved a psychological dilemma. I can, with all authority of the Word of God, go ahead and diagnose every one of you as bipolar. I've watched you act that way. Come into the house of God. Well, bless me if you can. Wish I can't hold. What's for lunch? So what is happening is we are not responding to what we are designed by God to be. Therefore, our emotions get all wonky. And we'll begin to think thoughts that's not in agreement with who we are. If you've trusted Christ. There's more to that. But let's get to this. Verse 5. Let's finish verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Can't even scratch the surface of all that goes into that. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now watch this. And besides this, giving all diligence, here's the key word, add. Y'all see that? Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the deal. Everybody say I'm listening. God is in the business of adding, not subtracting. So my question is are we supposed to lose what God has given us? The truth of the matter is, instead of us adding the things that divine nature and divine power hooked together gives to us, instead of adding, we look for something new and then we subtract everything that we've learned. That's what's going on. And it's destabilizing our emotions. Now, I'm going to tell you some things here that's going to sound simplistic, and they are. And the reason they're simplistic is because I'm simple. But when God speaks to me, it calls me back to a simplistic thing. So I'm going to tell you some things that God told me that He has given us to help stabilize our emotions. Okay? Y'all interested in that? Here's the first thing. Worship. Worship stabilizes your emotion. It's an odd thing. But I dare you to try this. Try being depressed and carry that depression into an atmosphere of worship that is consistent and tell me how long you stay depressed. The two can't coexist. You with me? So for the child of God, I'm saying for the Christian, I ask you this question. If a child of God is in a state of depression, could we conclude you're not spending enough time in worship? You say, but so-and-so don't spend all of his time in worship. I'm not talking about so-and-so. We're talking about you, because you are a unique individual. You may require more. Hello? And let me clue you into something. The more you chase after Jesus, the more you're going to require. Not less, more. Y'all with me? Worship is in the presence of God. Try this, I double dare you. Be angry and then go into worship and see how long your anger rests. Yeah. The two can't coexist. Y'all with me? Be in despair and hopeless. How many of you have been there? If you worship, your hopelessness disappears. Watch, through brokenness you may begin worship. And you may, in the beginning, you may even still carry on with your hopelessness. But the longer you worship, the longer you are in the presence of God, your hopelessness turns to great strength and hope. I dare you to try this. It will work. How many of you have ever looked at somebody and said, I don't know how they do what they do? You ever done that? I just don't know how they do what they do. I've met people like that. You have too. Can I tell you a key? It's when they get to that point of utter despair, they are captivated in such worship that in that worship, somehow they lose what it is that they're supposed to be discouraged about, and it turns to strength. Which Paul said would happen, in my weakness, his strength is perfected. If you could conceive of this, the strongest person that you know of spiritually, you know that about them because they're the weakest people you know. Kind of strips down all, you can't have no pride in it. Somebody say amen to that. I told a friend of mine one time, he was asking me about preaching, he said, this was back when I was preaching every day somewhere, and he was saying, how do you keep doing it? How do you keep preaching? And I told him, I said, it's because I'm weak. He said, what? I said, yeah, if I don't do it every day, I'm going to fall into rebellion. Now, you can believe that or not, but it's the truth. Strength is only perfected when you come into contact with your weakness and then take that into the presence of God in a complete surrender of worship, and suddenly your weakness becomes your strength. I wish y'all would hear that, because I know it's true. Okay? So worship, even though it's simplistic, and it sounds like a simplistic thing, if all of the worship you're doing is when we're gathered together here on Sunday morning, you are malnutritioned. You're spiritually weak. You're starving to death. You're like a spiritual skeleton. You need some meat on your bones. Come sit at the table of the Lord and feast on His goodness every day, because you need His presence. Now, worship, I know, is an emotional stabilizer. Here's something else that's an emotional stabilizer. This is what the Lord told me Monday morning. I'm sitting there. And I thought, man, and I said, well, Lord, I already know this. And He said, yeah, I know, but you need to be reminded. So I sort of clued in to what was going on the deep recesses of my heart where you can see, and found some spots of weakness. And I said, okay, I need to worship more. Then the Lord said, here's another emotional stabilizer, prayer. Sounds simple. It's just simple. We know this. Okay, well, if you don't, right? And here's how I can tell you ain't doing it. Half of you's emotions is going on roller coasters. Right? Me too. Me too, guys. Prayer. Watch. Just like worship, you cannot carry an emotion into prayer and hold on to the emotion. Somebody say amen. Amen. So when your emotions are, you know what you're doing? You're not praying enough. Is that a right conclusion? I'm trying to help you. And me too. I'm saying you're not praying enough. I'm saying you're not worshiping enough. Here's another emotional stabilizer. The Word of God. Can I tell you, I about had it with this shallow reading of God's Word, and where we don't take it to its depth. What's happening when we're doing this? Here's what we're doing. We are subtracting from what God has already added. Hello? Add to your faith. Don't take from it. Add these things to your faith. Now, let me go back to worship and talk to you about this. Here's the difference on adding and subtracting that we was talking about earlier, and the divine nature and all these things. Watch this. How many of you know and recognize that worship has changed? It's changed. We was talking about this, I think, in the last podcast. I think we did. I'm not real positive. Something that I know. Here's something that I'm familiar with. I was raised in a time when we had choirs. Y'all remember choirs? I was raised when you went into church, instead of chairs, there's pews. Right? I was raised in a church where we talked about this, I know, where we had the big chairs up there. Y'all remember that? Me and Joe Barrett was talking about this last Sunday. Listen to this. We've traded choirs for bands, pews for chairs, pulpits for glass. I say that's bad. I didn't say it was bad, but I am saying this. We lost something in order to add something. Now we think we can just flippantly come into the presence of God, and we don't understand the reverence that should be attached to approach of the Creator. Amen. I'm telling you, that's true. And what it's produced is a shallow walk with God. That God is right with anything I do. Jesus is my buddy. Y'all with me? That has subtracted, and it's produced an emotionally unstable people. That's why I say we're to add, not subtract. God's in the business of adding. He said, add to your faith. The book of Hebrews says this. Leave the first teachings of Christ and move on unto perfection. What does that indicate? It indicates that you, listen, you get saved one time. Move on from the cross into resurrected life. Y'all with me? If you don't do that, you will become defragmented, compartmentalized, and you'll have all of these various aspects of your life. You'll have your work life, you'll have your relationship life, your family life, your church life. And you will separate them all. Jesus said in Matthew 18, he said, or I think it's 18, he said this. He said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
What?
Rest.
Can I tell you that verse literally means he will take all of the fragmented parts of you and put you back together and make you whole. When we begin to defragment all of these various aspects of our life, what happens is all of the aspects you leave Jesus out of, you'll become unstable in. And it will call you back to a life of worship, prayer, and the Word of God. Now watch, when I'm saying that, I'm saying that what we have lost is a reverence of God.
Yes.
And that needs to be restored. We need a revival of that. Y'all with me so far? All right, then I get to this last thing here. Emotional stabilizer. You with me? Everybody say I'm listening. Purpose. Purpose. In the text we read in 2 Peter, it said, God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to what? Not your purpose, His purpose. Most people stop right there. You've heard me say this before. If you don't know the next verse, you'll never really understand that verse. The next verse is, whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. What is God's divine purpose for you? It's to be more like Jesus. You with me? Now then you have a subset of purposes that flows out of that. Okay? You can go ahead and fight against those subset of things that flows out of that purpose if you want to. You're not going to win that war if you belong to Christ. And I'm talking as one from experience that have tried this. I tried this. God called me to preach a long time ago. Matter of fact, if I am completely vulnerable and honest with you, I would say that at the age of 10, I knew in my heart, I cannot explain this, I can only reflect back on the event. I was getting ready for church one Sunday morning, and that was back when you wore suit and tie. I was 10 and had a tie on. That's right, I know, sounds weird. And I'll never forget it. I was putting my jacket on, I combed my hair, I had hair then, I was 10, combed my hair. Matter of fact, I was probably the best looking little 10-year-old boy you ever laid your eyes on. Come to think of it, we can just stop there and talk about that a while. I think that would be good. I was looking in the mirror and there was something in my heart at the age of 10. I can't explain this, but I felt in my heart. I go back to this all the time. God wanted me to preach. I was going to be a preacher. I can't explain it. I can just tell you that that happened. Then at the age of 13, I was invited to lead a prayer meeting at the church that we were attending. And that was back when people went to church on Wednesday night. I was asked by the pastor to speak at the prayer meeting. And I did that at the age of 13. And I read John chapter 3, the first 7 verses. I laid out of school that day to try to hear from God. Make sense out of it, if you will. 2 people gave their heart to Christ on that Wednesday night. And it scared me, because at that moment I didn't want to preach. And I ran from that call. And running from that call led me into sin, rebellion. It led me into all sorts of things. And I'll never forget it, at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, with a parachute on my back and the door opened and the jump master saying, "Go." God said, "Preach." I said, "Yes." I'm telling you what happened. Since that time, I started preaching then, pastoring churches, all of the sorts of things, and then life crumbled. And when my life crumbled, sin abounded. I became emotionally unstable. I'm giving you truth here. You take it for what it's worth. I became emotionally unstable and life crumbled. And the last thing I wanted to do was to preach again. I had closed the Bible. Now, I mean, can I tell you this? Even though I had closed the Bible, there was so much word already in my mind and in my heart, I couldn't get away from it. I would try to go to sleep and nothing but scripture would come through my brain. And I'd try to get rid of it because I wasn't living in agreement with it. And it like to drove me crazy. And I said, "Lord, I don't want to preach no more." We laying in the bed, getting ready to go to sleep. And I had a plan in my mind of what I was going to do with the rest of my life. And I started praying and I said, "Lord, please, this is what I want to do. Lord, please, this is what I want to do. Lord, I'm begging you, please, just let me do this. This is really what will make me happy." And the Lord spoke to me just as strong as I've ever heard him. He said, "If that's really what your decision is, I'll give it to you." And I thought about it a second and I said this, "Please God, don't do that. Please Lord, don't do that. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll do whatever I can, God, with what's left." Now here's my point. The purpose God has for me that's a subset of being like Christ is to teach the Word. I can run from that. I can negotiate with God about that. And listen, I may run out of preach one day. I don't know. But I can tell you this. The only way that my emotions will be stabilized is to bend and bow to God's design for my life. It's the only place I can be happy. Are y'all with me? The most severe punishment and penalty that can ever be inflicted upon you is for God to give you what you want when you reject what you need. Because it takes you away from your purpose. Joe Barrett's told you before how he tried. I think it was Wednesday night, didn't you? You tried to do something else. Can't. Can't do it. Why? Because he has a purpose. He's got to fulfill that purpose. Can I tell you that I've being married to Haley for almost going on 13 years. We're working on year 13. Yeah, she don't know. I normally the one gets in trouble for such forgetfulness. 13 years, and knowing her story, here's what I have learned about her story. She's had surgery after surgery after surgery. 5 ACE. Listen, folks, do y'all realize that's not normal? It's not normal. 5-ACL. Are y'all hearing me? Now watch, I like sports. Now I enjoy more football than I do anything else, but I know a little bit about basketball, and I've watched videos of her play, and she still got them. And she was good. She wasn't just good, she would have been pro. There's no doubt with the way she moved. I mean, at the age that I saw her at, she could outplay a lot of boys. Well, except for me. She couldn't beat me, but she, you know. Nonetheless. 5 ACLs. What was God doing during that time? What was God doing during that time? She wrote the song, so I'm not telling anything on her. She wrote it. God was taking her dreams where she saw herself 10 years from now and saying, no, that's not my design. My design is for you to take that instrument, and as I breathe into you songs that will encourage others to worship me, you write them. You sing them. That's her design. Which is far more valuable to God than hoisting a trophy for the WNBA. Factored in, now, you fight against that purpose, guess what happens? Your emotions get unstable. You fight against what you're called to do, and your emotions will get unstable. Dare say, and I heard a preacher say this one time, and I agreed with it. He said, most people spend 90% of their life trying to discover the will of God, 10% of their life doing the will of God. That equation needs to be flipped, because God's not trying to hide his will from you. You say, well, I don't know my purpose. Well, I can tell you the big purpose is for you to be like Christ. Fight against that all you want to, you won't win. Because he that begun a good work will complete it. And the subset that flows out of that that's going to make you more like Christ is the activity that you do in the kingdom. Maybe it's mercy. Maybe it's compassion. Maybe it's administration. Maybe it's faith. Maybe it's intercession. Maybe it's singing. Maybe it's teaching. Maybe it's, I don't know what God's called you to do, but you do. You may have hidden inside of yourself so deep that you can't locate it, but you know what your call is. And until we embrace that and stabilize our emotions on the inside, we're constantly going to be on a roller coaster of having to cast down imaginations, because it's going to change the way we think. And every time you do that, you're building up a wall. To where it's harder to hear from God. Easier to agree with yourself. Harder to agree with the Lord. And through the hardness of heart, we'll go off in different directions and paths. And we'll gravitate toward trading one tradition for another tradition. Just like we've done in worship. Now y'all can believe what I'm telling you or not, but the reason I describe the look of the church, look at churches now. The majority of them, they all look the same. Blacked out stage, chairs, band. All we've done is we've traded one tradition for another. And we're doing it because we're in rebellion, trying to feed something inside of us that only God can fill. One of the six-pointed prayer objects we have on Friday night is, Lord, teach us to live in your presence. And in living in his presence, I know you can't carry nothing of yourself into that and it remain. Can't. Lord, let us live in your presence. Another point of our praying, and I'm done here, is to answer the call. So you do what you want with your call. I've done rode that horse, and it throwed me off. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get thrown off, it'll break you. It'll break you. I'm telling you, you've never been broke till you get broke like it. And when you hear God say, okay, if that's where you want to live, I'll let you do it. God's Spirit won't always strive with you. And you'll come to a place where you'll be confronted with it's either your way or God's way. Which will you choose? I've given you my heart today, but I cannot tell you, I gave you what the Holy Spirit poured into me this past Monday morning. And I thought it was for somebody else. But it wasn't, it was for us. So I've been on this path this week of repenting, saying, Lord, there's some things in me I know that you're calling me to more worship. You're requiring more prayer. You're calling me into it. You're requiring more. To whom much is given, much is required. It's not supposed to be less. It's supposed to be more. Are you with me? Father, bless your word and do with it what you will. And may your spirit bring fruit. Or do with it however you please. And we'll give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.